Welcome to Embracing the Muse. I'm your host, Sally Jean Fox, the author of Meeting the Muse After Midlife. And I'm on a quest to discover and understand how we can live our richest, most meaningful, and creative lives at any age, and especially as we age. And I'll be interviewing island creatives to discover what they can share with us about the highs and lows, ups and downs, and possibilities of living and sustaining a creative life. Today's interview is really fun. I am interviewing Sarah Andrews Williams. And before we start, I want to tell you how I met her. I was at this wonderful plein air outdoor art event at the Mukai Farm and Gardens. It was wonderful. I think we had about 60 people, and we had artists of all sorts, and we had families there. And it was so super fun because you had the artists with their easels, and then you had kids running all over, and you had families picnicking, and it was everything that you'd want a great outdoor event at a public spot to be. And shout out to Mukai Farm and Garden and my former guest Kathy Gill and Jade, who's the ED at Mukai Farm and Garden, because it was a wonderful event. And as I was sitting there drawing, I heard a conversation with Sarah, and she was talking about how she keeps a watch on family-friendly events on Vashon and actually puts information out about them through her Instagram account. And I thought, that is fantastic because, so much is happening on this island, but tracking on it is hard enough. And then tracking on it when you have a family and you have specific parameters, because you're not going to want to go to those great late night events at O Space. And you want to find out about the wonderful things like what was just happening at Mukai. So I wanted to find out about that. And the more I talked to Sarah, the more I found out how intensely involved in this community is. So thank you, Sarah, for coming out of your busy life, because I know you're a mom as well as a real estate broker at Sotheby's, and you're maintaining this passionate interest about the island and our events. What I found out about you, which is really fun, is that you grew up on the island. And
yeah, thanks, Sally.
That's so wonderful, because so many of us are imports, you know. And not only that, but you grew up on the island, then you went away, and then you came back. Tell me about that. What was it like? I mean, when you were graduating from Vashon High School, were you like ready to get out to the world? And what had you decide to come back?
That's exactly right. I'd say when I was graduating, I was ready to leave. I think Vashon is a wonderful place, as we all know, but especially during those younger years and as a teenager, there's not as much. You got to get creative with your forms of entertainment, and I was eager to see the world and spread my wings. So I went away to school. I went to school in Oregon. I studied abroad in Argentina. I returned and was living in Seattle. I worked at Nordstrom. I worked at different tech startups in downtown Seattle, and then met my husband, who is from the area and actually grew up coming to Vashon as a kid. So when he and I were living in West Seattle and starting to think about starting a family, we were swirling around the idea of returning to Vashon. It just seemed like a logical next step, and more signs started aligning and pulling us in that direction. And we began thinking about it actually right around the time that we found out we were pregnant with my oldest.
How exciting. And also you had family here. And one of the problems in modern life is that often people live far away from their families, and dang, it's helpful to have a grandmother around when you're starting a family. So what a booster that was as well.
That was definitely a piece to the puzzle and a catalyst. My parents are still here and my sister. And so when, again, thinking about building our community and having those support systems in place, that was just another no-brainer.
Yeah, and then you shared with me earlier that when you came over, their houses weren't readily available, so you ended up living on your parents' property in an ADU, which sounds a little small, except that it was during COVID, and you guys got to be a pod together, and so you had family and a beautiful space, which is a pretty good way to go through a pandemic,
yeah.
Even as hard as it was, and I'm sure having a family in a small ADU was a challenge, but how fabulous, you know, that you all got to be together and have those years, really.
It actually was a really special time during COVID. It was kind of a family compound, and I think it was important for my oldest to have, you know, additional influences and interactions, you know, with my parents, and my sister was there as well. So it was special, even though there was a lot of challenges with that time.
I can imagine the challenges, but in a certain way, how fantastic.
Yeah, because, really lucky.
You know, if you're going to be isolated from the rest of the world, why not do it with your family in a beautiful spot? You know, I think some of us during COVID, I mean, as horrible as it was for so much of the world, kind of pinched ourselves to say, yeah, if we're going to be isolating, it's so beautiful to be isolating here.
Agreed. I thought that a lot during that time of, wow, how fortunate that this is where we're confined to.
Yeah,
this,
yeah.
This beautiful natural world.
How wonderful. And I also love, you know, you knowing the island, but then going back in as somebody who eventually wanted to get a house on the island. That's a particular perspective on the real estate journey that I think would be really useful to have, because it's hard, yeah, sometimes finding just the right place here on the island.
Yeah. And I draw on that experience a lot when working with clients, is especially empathizing with the process of figuring out what you want, what you don't want, being patient. I mean, we don't always have an abundance of inventory, especially in a particular budget or style. I mean, that's one of the wonderful things about Vashon is, you know, in any given day, I could look at 3 or 4 different homes that are drastically different in style, size, price. But that can also make it challenging when,
yeah,
you're confined to certain parameters.
Well, also, I know that for folks who can't afford that $1 million home, the market can be really challenging, and it varies and stuff. And it's also a place where I think people need to know both the great gifts that the island offers, but also what are the limitations? Because I've had renters in a small house that we own, and when somebody wants to rent, I always ask them, do you know what it's like to live on an island?
Yeah.
Because they'll be saying, oh, well, I have a job in North Seattle. I'm going,
mm-hmm.
You know, you don't really want to commute where you're not going to be able to go downtown on the P.O. boat. It's, you know, you could do it, but it's going to get really tiring, and too many people end up leaving really quickly after that. The other thing, and this sort of pertains to your interest, you kind of have to know that the kinds of cultural activities and activities are going to be limited, and they're going to be wonderful. So, no, you're not going to get the symphony, and you're not going to have easy access to the art museum or the racetrack or whatever it is, you know, the stadium and all. But instead, there's a whole world of things at a smaller scale. To me, it's equally wonderful, but it's a trade-off for people.
Yep. Yeah. I really try to highlight that, especially when talking to people who are new to the island or considering moving to the island, and they've been thinking about it. They like coming over for weekends and day trips, and then posing those questions like you have. Hey, you know, where are you working? How many days a week are you going into the office? Do you need really specific medical care? Do you have to go to the airport a lot? There's just different things you got to think about.
It's almost like you need a checklist. Like,
yeah,
if you check this one, then we really need a dog and all.
Yeah. And do you need, you know, what are the type of extracurricular activities you enjoy? Because you're right. I mean, a lot of our activities are done by 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. There's not a lot that goes on like later,
yeah,
for specific crowds. And
or
so,
when I came over here, it was 20 years ago, and I was an active member of a meditation group in North Seattle.
Oh, cool.
And so I would meditate till 9:30 at night, a couple times a week. And I thought, oh, no problem. I'll do that on Vashon. You know, I'll just commute over. And I did. But then you have this beautiful, you're in your calm, you know, meditative state, or maybe like the equivalent of going to a yoga class. And then you're rushing to make sure that you get to that 10 plus ferry, and then it overloads. And you're like, I can't do this. I just can't do this. How did you get interested in doing tracking on family-friendly activities?
Yeah. So when we first moved here, when I'll refer to it as the compound, when living on the compound, and, you know, I didn't have as many connections at that time because I had childcare. My parents have been amazing and helping with looking after my little ones as we work. I didn't join the co-op, for example, which is kind of a regret that I have. I realize now, and I tell parents that move here, it's actually more for you than it is for your kids. It's a huge connecting point. And like, I didn't know about meal trains when you first have a baby. I didn't know about, there weren't mommy and me groups. So I feel like I sort of missed some of those early year connections that where you learn about activities going on. And I, you know, I'd look online, and I, for me, it was hard to differentiate which events were obviously family friendly and which ones were going to be maybe a little more challenging. And I think I would say since then, so that was, you know, 8 years ago or so, that I feel like the events now are doing a better job of highlighting which ones. So what I'm really doing is going through all of the wonderful events and activities that are happening on the island and picking out the ones that, you know, selfishly would be ones that I would go to and that I think would be good. Like plein air is a great example. Having two young boys who are very active, I knew going to a wide open farm and field with friends that they knew was going to be perfect. They also love art, so it was a pairing of a lot of things that would work for us. So yeah, I wanted to pull together those types of activities, and I think I was also, as I stepped into real estate and then wanted to find my specific connection to the community, I asked myself, what are my quote unquote guiding lights or things that are important to me? And family and activities in the community were top of mind. And then also giving back and volunteering and finding ways to do that. So in addition to finding the family-friendly events, I was also overwhelmed with all the ways you could volunteer on Vashon and which avenues were going to be the best that lined up with my schedule, and had a variety of ways to give back. I think people have been involved in the things they're involved with here for so long that they just sort of get into those routines, and maybe it's not as widely publicized or talked about or known even. Like I hear people doing different activities with organizations, and I often wonder, well, how did you learn about that? How did you get involved in that? And it, to me, I wanted to draw on some opportunities, especially for people with young children who are pretty busy. What are some easy, accessible ways that you can still get involved with the community and fit it into your schedule?
Yeah, I was so interested in that part of your background. I love the idea about being a volunteer connector to help people know where the opportunities are. How do you track on that? And how is that on your Instagram? So you can also look for how people search for volunteer opportunities? Or?
Yeah. So I've got two avenues. I have a newsletter that I send out weekly, which is mostly for new listings and open houses. And then monthly, I go in and do a little bit more with the newsletter. And that's where I share the family-friendly events coming up for that month ahead. And then also volunteer opportunities.
So
ongoing or specific ones for that month. Yeah. And those will have hyperlinks to the specific details of that event. And then I take that and I pare it down and I put it into a slider on my Instagram. And then I
usually put a beautiful photo of Vashon or some fun activity that I did recently as an eye catch. And then if you swipe over, you'll see the two different types of events.
Yeah. What I really love, Sarah, is that you've taken things that are passions for you, like family-friendly events and helping people volunteer and make this a great island. And you made it jibe with what makes total sense for your real estate practice, which is, you know, people who are coming in and buying homes, they're going to want to know that same stuff. So you're it's brilliant marketing because you're doing something that's a genuine offering that also allows people to know, you know, the great things that you're doing as a broker and what's up with Sotheby's as well. What have you found? Are there any favorite family-friendly activities that you've discovered that your family really loves that maybe you wouldn't have known about 7 years ago?
Yeah, again, I would say the ones that stand out to me are the ones, so I'll kind of talk on a broader level and then maybe hone in on some specific ones that have stood out, but on a broader level, events where they span, you know, several hours on a weekend day, so that, 10 to 4 or noon to 4 or something like that, where there's open space for kiddos to run around and not feel super confined, and different activities mixed in. So you can appeal to a variety of attention spans and styles and engagement levels. So, there's been like beach cleanup days at Point Robinson, or and I'm, you know, specifically talking and get drawn into opportunities where kids can be involved in giving back. Those are
like family friendly volunteer
the gold
activities.
Star in my world, because that's huge for me. I really want, especially my children, I feel passionate about getting them involved and understanding the importance of giving back, especially from an early age. I, as a child, remember going with my parents to, it was at a church on the island here, I think the Presbyterian, where I think it was Wednesday night dinners, and we'd go and help. We'd just go, but we would also help serve the food and prep the food and just have fond memories of that and just the good feelings that it invoked.
Oh, I love that.
And also just gathering. It was a routine thing that we did. So,
and it's one thing to tell your, somebody as an adult, it's really good to be of service, but when it's in your bloodstream because you've seen the fun and you've seen the community and it's just what you do, then it's nothing new. I mean, you grew up knowing the power of volunteering, and I'm so happy that you're carrying the legacy, you know, and because this island runs on volunteers. I mean, we would be a far different island if we didn't have the wealth, but not everybody finds a way to volunteer as a young mom or dad. That's the deal. You know, a lot of us are the over 50s or the retired ones who can volunteer. So I'm doubly excited that you're introducing younger families to the power of volunteering.
Trying to, and you nailed it. That's the challenge right now is the time and fitting it in. So, you know, I am certainly not at all of the things I want to be at or could be at, but strive to. And
You can do just a bit.
Yeah, and I mean, you can do just a bit.
Yep. I love that idea of the beach day because it doesn't mean that you have to, you know, sit on a board or do lots of meetings or go to lots of events. You can do one and done.
Yep.
You know, and that's still a great help. Or go help fix a trail or, you know, so many activities. Any interesting volunteer activities that we might not regularly know of? Anything that's kind of unique that comes to mind?
And I did want to touch on one more specific event that I think does a good job is and the Heritage Museum has a family day. I think it's the third week on a Saturday. It's the third weekend of the month, and they just open it up and they make it really family friendly. There's usually crafts and activities the kids can get involved in. But again, it spans the majority of the day. It's a consistent week every month that you can rely on. You know, they have some outdoor space, but it's mostly indoors, so it's great all year round. And there's not a ton of structure to it. So if you have kiddos that just want to wander and gravitate to whatever they gravitate to in the museum, that's been one that we've enjoyed going to as well. So I think there's some pieces there that are really good for especially busy families, is when there's consistent date that you can look
consistent
forward to.
And a variety of hours to choose from. Yep. And not so much structure that if you have two kids with wildly different interests or different ages, they're going to be force fed into the same, down the same chute. Instead, the kids can roam around, find out what interests them that day.
Exactly.
And there's variety.
Exactly.
Oh, that's great. I didn't know about that. That's fantastic.
It was new to me as I kind of dug into it. And to the community aspect, a lot of these things that I've gotten more drawn to are because our kids are in the same class of someone who's working at one of those organizations, or I get Jade and her, Jade's son and my son are in the same class. Part of the community. You get pulled into different circles.
Well, I think that's the way people often find out about things on the island, is through others in the community.
Exactly.
But I want to go back and say that's why what you're doing is a service, because if people sign up for your newsletter, and I'll put that in the show notes for Embracing the Muse and this episode, you're harvesting from a variety of sources. So you're not just confined. And particularly somebody who's new to the island, they don't have a network. They're not likely to hear about these things, and you're making it easier. So back to the question, was there one volunteer activity that sounded a little unique that stuck out to you?
I'd say one that I usually put in the newsletter, that they just do a great job of planning ahead and putting their dates up, it's part of the land trust, and it's the it's the Bird Alliance. They just go and do trail cleanups, and they have usually three or four dates planned out for the month, and that's something that I would feel comfortable taking my kids to and getting involved in. I did take my son a while back to it was a King County Parks event at the trailhead and open field where the sheepdog trials used to be off Old Mill, and we removed invasive species and planted new plants and trees in that area, and it was perfect. My son ate it up. He just loved that opportunity. So.
Well, what a great introduction to a certain kind of horticulture. And once you see what ivy and lamium and some of these others look like, it's not rocket science.
Yeah, get them out.
and the kids can do it. And those are great. This will sound like a weird question, but have you ever gone to an event and gone, whoopsie, this isn't the best?
Yes. I'm trying to remember if I can actually draw on this specific event. I think more so, and a big reason that was a catalyst for kind of starting pulling these different events together for me, was going to events, especially with younger children, where the space is confined. There's a lot of quiet moments where someone's talking to the group and there's an expectation that people need to be quiet. Maybe your child's fussing or... you need to change a diaper. There's
and people are turning their heads, and you're feeling terrible.
And you start to feel a little self-conscious.
Yeah.
Any time that has come up, or I've been in that situation, which has been pretty rare, I would say. But whenever that has happened, that's a feeling of just not fitting in and not feeling welcome, and feeling like maybe this wasn't the right fit for where I'm at in my life. And,
yeah, I get
and that.
That
was why I wanted to highlight ones that for sure are going to be safe for
I think that's
families
great.
Of all ages.
Because it's a two-sided thing. You want events to be able to be welcoming to families. And, you know, in that very quiet lecture where everybody is focused and it's mostly for adults and it's kind of intellectual or whatever, the screaming baby in the back row is not appreciated, you know, and what a horrible place to put a mom in, because, you know, you can't control that, but it doesn't quite work. And then you have to do the going in and out thing. It's really horrible and stuff. On the other hand, Vashon Center for the Arts has done a really fabulous thing by making most of its events free. The kids under 18. Do you highlight those in your...
Yeah, I really try to highlight those events. I also really like to highlight, I think it's usually some of the matinees on Sundays. They will make more like sensory, sensitive to those with sensory.
Kids who get sensory overload and stuff?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what the term is, though, for the event.
Yeah, well, there's also, I don't know exactly, but, you know, kids are a lot of neurodivergence, and not everybody can sit still.
I think the term is more like a low sensory production.
Oh, okay.
So they won't do as many lights, and the music won't be as loud.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Not overstimulating.
Yeah. Yeah. And those are ones that I also like to highlight, because those, you know, whether it's somebody who's, you know, neurodivergent or not, young kids in general probably don't always respond as well to a lot of overstimuli. So.
I'm like that too.
And
you know?
Adults, we're all.
I know we're talking about families, but sometimes, you know, I feel like I get enough stimulation in life. I don't need to be bombarded by stimulation at events. You know, I love music and, you know, I love energy, but sometimes it's just too much. It's just too much. And then with a child who's sensitive, then it's actually a much more serious issue, because you, in a sense, you're hurting them to put them in an environment like that. I sometimes wish there were more kids at some of the VCA events, you know, because I think they are so generous.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. Maybe it's because you have to be in that bracket of not too young, but, you know, but teenagers have so much to do that they may not want to sit in a cello concert. I don't know what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the ones that have worked out. I mean, we've often gone to some of the dance productions because, you know, my son will have friends who are in the play and it's fun to go see them. And, but yeah, I would agree. I think that there is, maybe more opportunity to
more
kid-friendly events there, but not, I mean, they do a really good job of highlighting.
They do a good job. And, you know,
highlighting the ones that are open to families.
Right. Not like everybody's going to want to go to a cello concert, although recently there have been fantastic cello concerts and things. So let's put you in the chair of your real estate brokerage, you know, and you're talking to a young couple who's thinking about coming to Vashon with a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. What's your pitch about this community that would make it, you know, attractive to someone looking for their first or second home?
Yeah. I'm a big person who likes to, I'm someone who likes to bridge gaps and make connections. I'm constantly seeking ways to find commonalities. So I will definitely be asking what their interests are and what things they gravitate towards, and see if I can think of areas to plug them in or connect them to. But like I said, right off the bat, I would probably suggest they get involved with co-op for the youngest. And also be realistic with them about the childcare deficit that we have here. They're, you know, if for those, especially those younger years, it can be really hard. A 2 and a 4, we definitely have schools that will take children of that age, but also setting the expectation that they're not going to run the full workday. So you need to have either something lined up or have flexibility in your workday to leave at 2 or 3 o'clock to go pick them up.
Interesting, because I know in the city, Seattle, there are so many programs that will bridge the gap. So you have somebody who can take them from 3 to 6.
My friends that live out in Snoqualmie Ridge, they've got 2 boys, a bit younger than mine, and I just sometimes sit in awe of the schedule that they have. They don't take off summers or vacation. The school doesn't. They have pretty much constant care from 7:30 to 5:30 or later.
In the school district?
No, for this daycare.
For this daycare.
Daycare, oh, preschool daycare situation.
Yeah. Well, that's what people need. Uh-huh. You know, that's what people need. Although my granddaughter-in-law is opening a daycare on Queen Anne.
Oh, wow.
And there's a huge, I mean, she hasn't even opened. The wait list is huge. And the expense. You know, I look and I go, they're making, it costs so much to put a child in daycare for a month. It's more than I used to make for a month in my salary, you know?
It's pretty outrageous.
It's crazy.
It really is. And yeah, I mean, I'm counting down the days till we're on the other side of preschool payments.
Preschool payments, yeah. Yeah, they're so important. I mean, getting a child off to a good start couldn't be nothing more important than that. But holy, you know, when people, moms are having to work extra to pay for the daycare, and then the daycare has to be extended because the mom is working, you know, it's a pretty crazy world, you know.
I will say there's, for me personally, I feel incredibly grateful to have the schedule that I have and that I can do school drop-off and pickups within the hours that we have care for, and that I am there for the after school times and getting them to sports practices or whatever activities they're involved in.
Yeah.
Maybe that means I flex my time. I'm up earlier working, or I'm working in the evening.
And you work on weekends sometimes.
And I work on weekends sometimes, but
I
feel really fortunate that I'm able to be there for those moments.
Do you have any time for creative projects for yourself?
Good question. And I thought you might ask. So yes and no. I try to weave them into my existing schedule in life. I enjoy being in the kitchen. I really like cooking and baking and expressing my creativity that way. And luckily, my children get interested and like to be involved in that as well. So that's one avenue. And then yard work and gardening, just being out in the yard. And we were lucky to find our home when we did. It was kind of right before things got crazy in 2021. And we were definitely not in the higher price point. We kind of squeaked in and we're really lucky to get into the housing market. But, you know, the home, it's exactly what we needed. It was just pretty bare bones, but left a lot of room for some updates and, you know, updating the yard, adding a garden. We've been talking about other areas in the yard that we want to build out for the life that we have now. But I've had fun, you know, updating bathrooms and updating the kitchen and some DIY projects.
Yeah.
So I would say cooking, DIY home projects, and gardening.
That's so great.
My creative outlets.
Yeah.
And YouTube videos and
YouTube
Instagram.
Absolutely. I was going to add that. So, you know, my beat is creativity and how we shape a creative life. And often people say, you know, just don't have the time. And I mean, what young mother with 2 small kids and a job has time? But this is such a great example, Sarah, because you're saying, you know, I have to make it work with my life, but I'm able to do YouTube videos and Instagram and apply my creativity to something that also supports my business life. And then my kids need food, but luckily I love to cook and to bake, so I integrate there, and we have this great home, and now I get to be a little creative and work outside in the garden and imagine other things. So my point is that we can always live a creative life. We just have to be creative about how we do it.
Yep. Yeah. And give yourself grace that, I mean, I'm pretty much throwing my garden out the window this year. It's not happening. Maybe the strawberries will yeah. flourish, but there, I'm not going to go too crazy because this is a wild year. So
yeah, that's real too.
I think that's important too.
To not put a heavy standard on yourself and a bar that's so high that you're constantly disappointed, but to be able to say, I get to do this. I'm not going to try and do that, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe in another year we can shift the balance, but that's the way it is right now. But I get to do this. So I'm going to enjoy those strawberries and I'm going to enjoy baking in the kitchen and all. I don't want to take more of your time having gotten here and knowing that you are a busy mom. But again, thank you so much for coming. If people want to find out more about you, where should they go?
Yeah. I would say start at, if you have Instagram, the Vashon Lifestyle account is a good starting place. And there's actually a link in the bio to subscribe to my newsletter if you did want to get it via email. If that's
is that the
platform.
Sotheby's bio? When you say bio?
Link the bio? In bio in the Instagram.
Okay.
Yep.
For those of you who are familiar with Instagram, you can find her bio on Instagram at the Vashon Lifestyle and then go from there and have access to these amazing resources that you are sharing with the community. And I want to thank you so much for your commitment to Vashon that would bring you back, offer these services to the community, and help other new families get started. So thank you,
Sally. What an honor. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening. I look forward to being back soon and bringing you another conversation with an island creative who can show you how it's possible to embrace your muse and live your richest and most creative life. Till then, thanks for joining us, and thanks to Voice of Vashon, 101.9 FM, for hosting this show. I'm your host, Sally Fox, and I look forward to being with you soon.